In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. And was the prokimenon for a hierarch, because we're celebrating a hierarchtikon today. And you should listen to these prokimena. The prokimena are generally verses that are taken from the Psalms, almost always. And they're before we read the epistle or the gospel, after the entrance for Vespers, and we read the prokimenon then, and a few other times. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Seems like a high bar, doesn't it? My mouth shall speak wisdom. How many things do we say that are wise? How often do we speak wisely? And then it says, the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. It's actually putting, shall we say, the cart before the horse, right? So in order to speak with wisdom, the meditation of our heart must be of understanding. You know what that's talking about? It's in the Old Testament now, but it's talking about theosis. It's talking about union with God. It's talking about that deep heart of man in which God shall be exalted because he shall be within the heart of man. And the meditation of our heart is not that we think about this and that, but that we have the understanding of God in our heart. Now, the understanding of God is everything. There's nothing else that is life. Everything else is death. To not know God is death. To know God is life. It's just as simple as that. So if we have the meditation of our heart being that we know God, then indeed our mouth is going to speak wisdom, is only going to speak wisdom. Such a beautiful idea. That's another way, shall we say, of describing salvation. I kind of have this little hobby, if you want to call it that. I find it fascinating and beautiful that there are literally hundreds of ways in which the scripture describes salvation. Each one of them is sort of a little piece in the fabric of salvation. And this is one of them. My mouth shall speak wisdom and, or because, the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. This is what we're aiming for. This is the whole purpose of our life, is to have the meditation of our heart be of understanding, to have God completely in our heart. Then there's no darkness, there's no confusion, there's no anger, there's no lust, there's no passion, there's no anything except God. That's the whole purpose of our life. That's the only thing that's important. We can forget that sometimes, all of us, everybody, even people that are righteous and holy can forget it. When things happen around them, when there's tension, when there's stress, when there's difficulty, or when our passions take hold of us, or the passions of others take hold of them, and we deal with that. We're in a world right now that is completely just crazy, just insane. I don't hear anybody's mouth speaking wisdom. Certainly if you do, if you are foolish enough to watch TV and then watch the news, there's no wisdom coming out of those mouths. If you look at press conferences, there's no wisdom coming out of those mouths. If you look at pronouncements and mandates and all the rest that governments love to do, there's no wisdom coming out of those mouths. That's because the meditation of their heart is not about God, it's about secular things. But we are Christians, so we must meditate with understanding. Now, how do we do this? The gospel tells us today. It's not easy. It'd be nice to have a simple solution, wouldn't it? Huh? There's some saint that talked about it'd be nice if the Christian life was, you know, having tea, but it's not having tea. You can have tea once in a while when you need some rest, but for the most part, it's battle. It's battle to the death. It's battle against the demons. It's battle against our passions. It's when we have enemies because of who we are. Hopefully not because of the things we say or do in terms of we have a bad personality, but because of who we are. If people hate you because of who you are, because you are a Christian, because you dare to actually have a moral code and actually live by it, because you're humble, because you're kind, because you don't want to just hate people that are unlike you, if people hate you because of those things, then you will be blessed indeed. And now if they hate you because you have an odious personality, that's a sin. But our whole purpose is to have a beautiful personality. Because if we have a beautiful personality, that means the beautiful one must be within us. The meditation of our heart will be of understanding. And here's how we gain that beautiful personality. We gain the kingdom of God by falling upon the stone the cornerstone, which the builders rejected. That same stone has become the head of the corner. That stone, that building stone, is Christ. And there are only two options. Both of them are painful. You can fall upon that stone and be broken. Everyone's tripped on a stone. Everyone's fallen on a hard surface. It hurts. Sometimes you bleed. Sometimes you even break bones. You get abrasions. So we must fall upon the stone and be broken. Or there's only one more option. You have to pick one. And if you don't pick one, then this one will be the one that you will really have chosen. And that is that if the stone falls upon you, you are broken to pieces. Not in a healing way, but shattered. Most of the world has the stone falling upon them. Not that Jesus Christ is literally breaking people. You can't take the metaphor that far. It is that if people reject Christ, then they completely dissolve as human beings. They stop knowing what it is to be a human being. They look like humans. They speak like humans. They even speak about things that appear to be kind, but inside they're broken. They're shattered, broken in pieces. Not broken as we should be broken when we fall upon the stone, which is a voluntary act. But this involuntary act of theirs, hating Christ, and therefore that's voluntary. But then the stone falls upon them, it's just going to be. It's not that Christ punishes them. It's that if we reject what is true, we lose our cohesiveness. We forget what it is to be a human being. We lose our souls. Not literally, of course. Nobody loses their soul. But it's as if we are walking dead men and dead women. There's a lot of dead people walking in the world. But we must be among the living, which must mean that we must fall upon the stone. And that falling upon the stone is by humbling ourselves, by repenting, by recognizing our sins, and by keeping our faith in God regardless of whatever happens. It's a difficult task. It's not easy at all. That's why after he said this, they wanted to lay hold of him and they wanted to kill him, because they didn't like that story. The modern Christian story, quote unquote Christian, is that you can have whatever you want and you can call it good. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to believe, whoever you want to hate, whatever perversion you want to engage in, you can have that and call it Christian. And indeed, a person can do that, perhaps all of their life. And perhaps all their life they might not suffer very much, but that stone will fall upon them and it will break them to pieces. They won't be healed by this breaking. The only way we can be healed by Christ is when we voluntarily fall upon him. And indeed, there is a breaking. So, what is the reward for this? Well, for my mouth to speak wisdom and the meditation of my heart to be of understanding. That's a great reward. Because this world, everything is going away. The older I get and the more I see the insanity that has been happening, I'd say probably at least the last decade or so, it's just insane what people say and think as true and how easily people go from one bizarre idea to the next. It's just insane. And it's just getting worse. People are losing their ability to reason. As a society, we're crazy as a society. As I see that happening, I see people being broken to pieces because they will not submit to Christ. Even if they speak of Christ, they won't submit to Christ. And then they have the stone fall on them, and they're broken to pieces. And the only solution for us is we live in the midst of this world and see loved ones falling and see terrible tragedies happening, is to fall upon the stone ourselves. You must consciously do this. The great lie of pseudo-Christianity is really that you can have salvation without labor. And now the new lie, the corollary to that lie, is you can have salvation without truth. Years ago, about 500 or so, give or take, it was this idea that was promulgated, this toxic idea, that you can have salvation by believing, and that's all. At least it was believing something that was more or less true. Not completely true, with some distortions in it, but basically at least decent and good, and certainly not believing that horrible things were true. Now, we've degenerated as a society that you can have salvation by defining salvation to be anything you want it to be, and by defining how you attain this salvation to be anything you want it to be. So we can have salvation without labor and without truth, and that's a lie. Those who believe that will have the stone fall upon them and they will be shattered to pieces. Those of us who believe in truth, we believe in absolute truth because God is absolute. There's no changing who God is. He is who he is. Therefore, truth is what truth is. Truth is eternal. Truth does not change. Truth is not subjective. And we must live according to that truth. That will take some falling upon the stone. That'll take hurt. But the reward is so magnificent. To have our mouth meditate wisdom and our heart to be of understanding, and our mouth to speak wisdom and our heart to meditate understanding. That's worth it. Because then in the next life, there'll be no death. In the next life, for some people, there'll be death. Those who had the stone fall upon them, it will be an eternal death. It'll be an ever-occurring death. For us, if we are worthy, if we don't live stupidly, if we live with effort, with zeal, with repentance, with love, and we fall upon the stone, in the next life, there will be no death. There'll be no sickness or sorrow or sighing, but only life everlasting. That's what keeps me going, because we're in a crazy world, getting crazier and crazier. People say insane things, and we're hearing more and more insane things, and we see how there's a collusion between the powers in the world, which is basically money. The greatest politics is money. Not which party or which government is in control. It's money. Money is the great religion, and it is the greatest political party. And we can see how money just pollutes everything. And it's going to kill a lot of people. I'm quite sure of that. I wrote to you on the mailing list yesterday. I was quite affected by a person I don't even know. Just a stranger. But he lived in Thailand. And he basically was part of the establishing of the Thai Orthodox Church, which has only been around for 20-some years or so. His name is Michel, a French name for Michael. And he was a pillar of the community. And through pressure, he was made to take the jab. And 7 days later, he was just dead. He had no pre-existing conditions. There was nothing wrong with him. He took the jab, and now he's a statistic. He's just a death statistic. He's not a death by the jab statistic. He's just a death statistic. But there are so many like him. And he had loved ones. The entire community loved him and knew him. And in a few days, his life was just snuffed out, just died of whatever, probably of some sort of clot, probably of some sort of stroke, most likely. That's what these shots cause quite a bit when they cause death. It caused many other problems. Completely unproven technology. The only time that I know of in our medical history that we have used literally the world for an experiment. Now, there's no doubt that there's been other experiments where people have done horrible and crude and horrific things to groups of people, often against their will or without them even knowing so. But that was small groups of people. It was still terrible. It was still the kind of thing that would make the stone fall upon those who did the experiments. But now we have the world as being experimented on. And where is it going to go? I, as a pastor, have tried to kind of have a sort of a middle road in a way. I think anybody that knows me knows that I don't suffer fools gladly, and I can see a lie. I know that when you step into cow manure, exactly what it smells like. I don't need to look down to see what it is. And this stink of what's happening in the way that the vaccine is being promoted and the fear is being promulgated and actual Orthodox hierarchs are saying our salvation is in this and we must do that. All of these terrible, horrible things. It's just there's a stench that is crying out to heaven because people are being deluded by it. But I've tried to kind of, you know, not be too obvious. People who know me pretty much know. But not really so obvious. But when I found out about this young man, well, I guess he would be an older man, dying. And then another friend of mine that was very much pressured because of the nature of, I called this person in the letter X so as not to have any gender or anything like that. So here I am, a priest, talking about coming up with a word for another, for a gender. Huh? I called this person X. And X got the vaccine because of pressure, thought about it a long time. And this person's complaint was that hadn't heard any authority, any Orthodox authority, speak out against it. That is a judgment against us. This person thought a long time and looked for a long time for words. Probably saw some of the things I had said, but I've told you, and I've told people, I'll continue to tell people really, that you have to go according to your conscience. I'm not going to judge someone that gets vaccinated or doesn't get vaccinated or wears a mask or doesn't wear a mask or kisses icons or doesn't kiss icons. I'll just have certain practices which I'll do in my church, God's church, that I'm a steward of, and that's all. So I don't judge anyone for the things they do, but I think I had to be stronger, so I'm becoming stronger about speaking about it, so as not to have good friends that feel pressured and then feel like nobody told them, don't do that. So that's what I'm saying now, don't do that. But it's a difficult task for many people. Some people might be forced into it, and if they are, may God preserve them, may God help them. That's why we pray. That's why we do prostrations. That's why we pray to St. Nikephoros. That's why we pray the Akathist and the Paroclus to the Theotokos. That's why we pray to St. Pantaleimon every week. That's why we pray for the sick in every liturgy. So we don't believe that any action that any man can do to another man cannot be negated by God. Of course, God is more powerful than all those things. But I have come to the conclusion that I, as a pastor, if I can influence anyone, I have to speak out more forcefully. It really bothers me that this friend felt alone. And I don't want anybody to feel alone. Now, if people get mad at me for what I say, I don't care. I know people in the city that say, don't come to this parish because this guy's a fanatic. Okay. They haven't listened to what I've said. They just listen to what people say I've said or whatever. I don't really care. I'm not a fanatic. I'm a Christian. And I want to fall upon the stone. And I want you to fall upon the stone. And I want to teach others to fall upon the stone. Because that's the only way we're going to live, to fall upon that stone. And to have our salvation in Christ and not in anything else. Not in any secular solution. So there's going to be tough times. And we have to be ready for them. And we have to be understanding that the whole purpose of our life is to become sort of remade by Christ. So that we would be able to have our mouth be able to speak wisdom, and the meditation of our heart be of true understanding, which means that our heart is completely containing God. God bless you. This was a homily from St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, McKinney, Texas. Orthodox.net is our website, and the sermons are found at orthodox.net/sermons, and on YouTube they are found at Orthodox.net. God bless you. This is Priest Seraphim.